It's Thursday, August 17th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota. It's a fantastic day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that, we are so back. Austin Eckler, Los Angeles Chargers running back.
Matt, let's go, man. We are back.
How's it feel?
Man, it feels amazing. It feels awesome. Fantasy football's back in action. You know, all during off season. I live in Las Vegas during the off season, and there's a bunch of sports bettors. And so everyone, hey, how'd you on my fantasy? Oh, I want money on you. And so I'm like, all right, it's time to get back to work. Let's get the people what they want. They want some results. And hey, we can come and recap it here on the show. So glad to be back, my friend.
Yeah, I am so glad. Football is right around the corner. I'm ready for the real games at this point. You know, every time, Austin, you see the preseason, it's like for a few minutes there, it's nice. It's like, oh yeah, this is football. And then you're like, okay, I'm ready for these to like really matter. You know, I'm ready for it to be the real thing. And I'm sure you guys are even more ready. Well, we're ready to have a great year on the show. I'll tell you that. Just a little bit of table setting here. Last year, you know, Austin and I think we had a great show. It was a lot of fun. We are both competitive guys ready to take this thing to like the next level. So we are going to, of course, be combining Austin's unique status as an elite fantasy and real life NFL superstar, plus me, no life. All I do is watch football, study routes, chart things, you know, do the mock drafts, look at the rankings, you know, all that stuff. We're hoping to bring you.
Matt, let me interject here. I would say that's not no life. That is the life we need. That is going to be the fire to the show, right? We need your expert analysis, you know, with my expertise on the field, being actually in the locker room. And so the combination it's pretty fierce, man. So don't say you don't have any life because you have the perfect life to make this a kick-ass show.
Well, that's the goal, right? And I tell people all the time that you want to get into the industry, you want to get into the sports media industry, fantasy, whatever. Well, just be prepared to sacrifice a lot of what you think is a real life. So maybe I'm just setting people's expectations out there. But again, we're going to bring you the best football fantasy conversations this fall. You're not going to be able to find this stuff anywhere else. And we're going to be doing it through a lot of segments. We're going to be doing it through a lot of structure. And more importantly, we're going to be involving you people out there a lot. This is going to be a very community-based show. More on that at the end of the program. But Austin, it has been a while since we've talked. A lot has gone on with you this offseason. We're going to talk all of that. But specifically, one thing I want to kind of check in with you here about, I've been seeing your gram this offseason, pal. You've been putting in some hours. in the gym. I mean, several times I'm like, my God, you know, I know Austin is jacked, but are we taking things to a new level here? You know, I remember at the end of last year, somewhere towards the middle end of the season, if you want to call it that, you being like, you know, I'm thinking about ways this offseason I can already start to get better and evolve. Walk us through a little bit of that process, man. If I've been in the lab doing mock drafts and route charting and everything, you've been in the lab that much more in the gym.
Look, I hope we can show some of those pictures somewhere. If not, we'll edit that part out. But anyway, for me, lifting, that is what I think has really started my journey of how far I've come and why I've gotten this far. But long story short, I love working out. And so during the off season, I'm always in the weight room as far as, you know, bodybuilder weight rooms, athletic performing weight rooms. And so I've gotten a lot of knowledge from these different places and meeting different types of people. And so, yeah, when I'm in my it's funny because when I'm in the Dragon's Lair out in Las Vegas, it's a bodybuilder weight room. And so the lighting is perfect. So that's the one I take all the pictures in and stuff like that. You know, and I'm wearing these small cutoffs so you can see like the striations and you can see, right, the indentions in the skin and the muscle fibers and the, you know, all of it. And so for me, for whatever reason, I love being in the weight room. And well, I know the reasons why, but I think it's just a place to go in there and just kind of let loose, not think of anything, just push yourself. And then obviously it helps me on the football field as well. And I've been doing that ever since I can remember. But basically that type of concept has been what my whole offseason has been, is just continuing to push myself in different ways on the field, in the weight room, and then other business ventures as well.
People don't realize that lighting is a pretty big deal when you're taking the gym. It's food photos and gym photos. If you know the guy I'm talking about out there, your friend that like takes these ridiculous looking food photos and thinks they're like a food photographer and they look just terrible. It's because they don't have lighting, right? And
same
thing.
That's right. You got to have some good lighting, you know? So when you see the person at the gym with the ring lights, you know, and they're starting to set up their camera, like that was me for a little bit until I finally got a photographer. But yeah, it's all about the lighting.
It's all about the lighting. What part of the training you think is like going to be most impactful for you from like a football standpoint this year?
Ooh, so I mean, at this point, I'm going into year seven. I'm getting old in football years, so they say. It's crazy because when I was a rookie, I was 21, and people that were going into year seven, year eight, I was like, dang, these guys have been playing forever. And now that's me. Now that's me. And guess what? It's about being consistent at this point, right? Like, how can I be consistent? And that's kind of been the name of my game for the past, you know, as long as I've been playing, continue to be consistent, and that is consistently make plays. And so that was what my offseason was too. Very consistent with what I've done in the past. Right as soon as offseason starts, like Matt said at the beginning, I don't stop working out. Like I just stopped getting hit. So now I can actually build my body back up. Usually I lose a lot of weight because it's a lot of running during the season, hence the name running back. And so I'll get down to like 192. I like to come into the season right where I am right now, like 198, 199. And so it's building back up, right? Building back up. I'm doing all these different, you know, different heavy presses and things like that, trying to build some muscle structure, eating a lot of food. And then you start tempering into the running as you're getting closer and closer to training camp. I don't go to OTAs. And that's another conversation we'll have, talking about new OC and learning offenses and stuff like that. You know, year seven, you pretty much understand how to learn an offense, which has been a blessing for me to kind of open up some free time, not going to OTAs, focus on other things in life. But then getting into training camp, now it's full on running. Now we run a lot more than we lift. And so back in it, and it's good to see, you know, the young guys, see who's in shape, see how it's feeling. But there's nothing that can actually kind of simulate being on the field. Like you can go and do all these drills and you see drills, these guys are going so fast and like doing all stuff. But can you actually know the plays? Can you actually stay on your feet? How's your contact balance? What happens when you get hit in the side, you know, by a 300-pound guy? Can you stay up on your feet, or are you, you know, falling over, are you top heavy? Like there's all of these things that you work during the off season to try and, I guess, combat against, but you can't replicate it because you need that 11 on 11, that full speed. People, like, I'm not going to have my trainer line up and go hit me from the side as I'm doing some drills, you know? but no, I'm glad to be back in camp, man. Super excited for this year. And I'll digress here because I could go on for days about off season workouts. But yeah, I hope everyone is finding some way to stay active out there because it's so beneficial for mental and physical reasons.
Oh yeah. And you know, I feel the same way. Obviously.
Yeah. Matt, we know your journey as well. And so you could also be an advocate of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been hard, moving across the country and like trying to get back into rhythm. You know what I mean? Like that's one of those things where, okay, you're so focused on one thing for a long period of time and then like getting back into it in a new area, but got a good, I'm sure nothing like what you were working with in the Dragon's Lair. I mean, my God,
what a name. They're pushing weights, man. You know, put some plates on the bar. If the bar's not bending, you're just pretending. Like, let me tell you that, you know, you better be in there moving some weight.
Well, I got a good home gym set up in the garage here. I don't know that I'm bending any bars, but I do. The only cool thing I've got is like a big long banner that says nobody cares, work harder. Like that's my thing. Just keep
whatever it takes
and keep doing it. But look, I love seeing that. Love hearing everything. By the way, just want to remind people out there, Austin said he's 192 during the season. So remember that when like we have these very myopic conversations about player weight. We'll talk about a guy here later on, a rookie that people are like, oh, this guy weighs 199 pounds, not 200. It's over for him. So just remember that these guys, like all of you out there, normal human beings, your weight fluctuates. But that's my soapbox, so we'll get off that. The biggest thing, Austin, obviously this offseason that went down with you, you've been in the news, man. I mentioned that I moved across the country. It was hilarious. Like 2 days after I kind of let the world know that I was leaving California, it pops up that Austin Eckler's requesting a trade. I got a lot of jokes about like, oh, so where's is Austin following you? Or are you going to the Commanders? Because I'm down here in Virginia now. Is he going to North Carolina? He's going to Carolina Panthers? Well, none of that obviously was the main thing here. That was not what was going on.
You know, yeah, that was a thought, but didn't end up actually being the actual reason. Yeah.
didn't end up being the actual reason. I want you to just, look, I want to have you have a space here where you can talk about as much of this as you want, because I know this has been the big thing this offseason, advocating for the running backs. I know you take this very seriously. You're an NFLPA rep. So just kind of walk me through, because I will say this on my perspective. I knew that something was going on here with the running back landscape. Honestly, the moment that your situation started cropping up, I know what you're making. The whole internet knows what you're making. And you know, you request a new contract. And when it wasn't just an immediate, like, yep, we're going to get this done. I was like, ooh, that seems a little weird. So just kind of walk me through what you've been thinking and everything this entire process and where your head is at now, August 16th, as opposed to like when this all started happening.
Yeah. Just a quick summary, you know, us as running backs feel that our participation and our effectiveness on the field isn't being represented equally when it comes to paying us. That is how I can, in the most simple way, describe the situation. And there's a lot of varied narratives of whether that's right, whether that's wrong. And when it comes down to it as a player, as an individual player, I think that's where we need to start when we look at the scenario, you know, because when we talk about compensation for any athlete in any sport, it comes down to what is your effectiveness on the field. And when you are very highly effective, you're usually wanted and you're usually compensated for that. And you're not pegged or you're not, what's the word I'm recording, compared to the average people in your position. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, you're an outlier. You know, you're not just a running back. You're the best running back. You're the most effective, right? You're not just a receiver. Yeah, you play the receiver, but guess what? You're Tyreek Hill. Like, you're an outlier. And so it's not fair for us to say, well, all receivers, you know, are this when you have outliers. And so the reason I say that is because some of these narratives out here of why the running back shouldn't be getting paid are basically describing that, oh, even though you might be a top, you're still a running back.
Yeah.
So because you're saying you're a running back. Yeah, exactly. Now you're saying, oh, you're a running back. So actually, you know, you fall into the narrative of the general running back statistics and things that happen to the general population. Not necessarily your instance. And so when you look at it that way, then it's like, oh, why would we pay these guys? Because they get hurt. Well, if every position gets hurt, well, they, you know, only average 4-point-something yards per touch. Well, not everyone. And so like for me, I think my average yards per touch last year, like close to 6 or 5-point-something. I don't know. And so there's certain positions, there's certain instances where guys are performing at a high level. And what we saw happen was a lot of guys get this narrative of, well, you play running back, so we don't want to compensate you because we're comparing you to the normal. And so we're actually going to franchise your top guys and not let them go to the open market. And that's what we saw, where it was like, hey, well, the franchise tag is a whole nother conversation, because now you're putting all of the stress on the player, and the entire, you know, organization has no, you know, risk. Basically, they have 1 year. But now you're not allowing the player to go and actually find what type of market value is out there for that person. And then that has a domino effect, because if that person would have set the market, or maybe they didn't even set the market, but they got, you know, a bigger contract than they would have got, or even a smaller one, everyone that's compared to those people in those contracts is now affected. And so that's the landscape of what we're going through. And as running backs, we wanted to make sure we got together and put our thoughts on the table. And some things that we've come out with, and people are like, hey, what are you going to do? Well, one is that is really obvious is continue to play at a high level. Like, the more mm-hmm. we can continue to contribute like we do already, the more we will be sought out by other teams. Once we get that opportunity to actually, you know, get to the open market. And that's what it comes down to as far as what we can physically actually go out there and do is continue to play at a high level. And, you know, there's been some things about, oh, don't play running back. And that's all BS. That's such BS. Why would you not play running? Like, just because we're going through some hard times right now doesn't mean it's going to always be like this. So everyone needs to chill out with the whole quit, don't be a running back thing. And when you're, before you're even in the NFL, you're not even thinking about the NFL. You're thinking about, you know, dominating right. Where you're at, you know, high school, peewee, college, all that. You got to dominate there first. And
also,
then
it's not that simple, right? I mean, just because, like, if you're in a certain body type, it makes sense to play running back, right?
Like, you could go play like safety or nickel, sure. Or, you know, something like that, you know. But for me, I'm like, just think of it in general. You know, you say you're going down a path and things get tough. If you're one to jump ship immediately, that's like, that you probably weren't very passionate about it in the first place. You know, like, you've been putting in all this work, especially for me, to play running back. Maybe you were in high school or something. And now, because you know, the NFL people are only getting paid $11 million to go play the position. You know, I say only, like, when you take it outside of context, the NFL, it's still a ton of money. So the next thing I was going to say that we can do is continue to change the narrative and continue to voice our opinions of why we think we're effective and why we, as running backs, you know, are actually should be valued. And it comes down to everyone's situation. Like for me, like I've been a big red zone threat. I've been efficient catching the ball. I've been consistent, you know, every single year. Haven't seen any really decline as far as my performance. And, you know, what is the best, you know, predictor of the future? If you look at the general, then you might say, oh, well, now he's done. But if you look at the individual, you might say, okay, Austin's been consistent. He's pretty durable, right? He catches the ball. And so, boom, that's a valuable individual. He should probably get compensated for at a higher rate than the general running back, running back stat line. And so everyone has their own situation. And so that's the narrative we're trying to push, and that people should have their opportunity to go hit the open market and get out there and see what they can get.
Yeah. And again, you guys being able to voice your opinion, that's why, look, this is your show, man. You know, I want you to be able to get this stuff out there for the people to kind of understand that. I know, you know, from my perspective, the word market is always an interesting part of this, and a couple of different reasons. One, as you said, people always respond, well, the market has dictated this, what they're being paid. Not a real market, right? Because of the franchise tag, you know, it's not like
our top guys.
Yeah. The top three guys in free agency this year, right? Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, all franchise tag. There's no like open market there. Even for you, it's like, okay, well, I want to explore my value, but those teams still have to pay something back to the Chargers and then have to turn around and pay you. So again, that's not a real open market. Like, like at your regular person's job, you're allowed to shop your services around at any time. You can't really do that. I mean, if not, unless you're on a contract. And again, look, so
I'm not saying there's guys that are like, oh my God, going to set the new market. You know, I think Christian's still that most dynamic player when it comes to that. And maybe you can, you know, advocate for some of these other guys as well. But to not even get close to that, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And then, you know, one of the big reasons was the franchise tag.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's obviously in our CBA, and it's one of those things that really prohibits. And if you're going to use their narrative, or it's like, hey, well, these guys get hurt, so, you know, we don't want to, you know, put it a longer contract as they're getting older. Well, now you're really incentivizing us to want to take the franchise tag away, because now you're going to use it. Now you're using it against us. And now you're saying, oh, well, I'm going to get hurt, but you're going to lock me into 1 year. So now I take on all of the risk at a price that I never got to negotiate. And so you're now, I don't get a choice. You're telling me I'm going to get hurt, and you're saying, nope, you only get to play for 1 year. You could go run for 3,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. They could franchise you again, and you don't get to go out there, and you don't get to negotiate again. And so that's,
And it's not in the spirit of what the tag was designed to be, right? That's the thing. It's the hypocrisy, and it is the original point of the franchise tag. Is like, all right, they're going to tag you a player, and that gives us time to kick it down the road in terms of, all right, it's our franchise player. We couldn't come to an agreement here. We're going to try to come to an agreement later. But now it's just being used as like, all right, well, these running backs are, you know, the rookie contract, fifth year option, and then we'll do the franchise tag. And oh, by that point, they'll be dust anyway, so we'll just keep it moving. Like, it's just a way to keep you guys. It's become a bit of a thing here. The other thing that I get hung up on, and I want to ask you about this, because it's an inter locker room dynamic part of it. A lot of these guys that we are talking about, whether it's you, whether it's Jonathan Taylor, whether it's Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley with the Giants. These are not only some of the team's best players, they're easily their most marketable players, because people know the running back, right? So if I'm a different player in a locker room, and I have no perspective on this, obviously, but if I'm, you know, the damn backup guard or whatever, I'm sitting there like, man, this is how they're doing it to one of our most well-known players. Like, does that affect the culture and dynamics within a locker room, or is that just like everybody's kind of on their own page?
Man, it's tough, because it's happening to, you know, some of our top guys. And there was a lot of contracts that were not a lot, but there was a good amount of contracts that were signed in the running back, in the running back market this year that were also affected by this, that aren't being talked about, you know. Miles Sanders and one of those guys, I'm just like, man, you know, Pro Bowl guy. And then, you know, with, you know, Jamal Williams as well, I'm just like, these contracts, and I'm like, bro, for the value that you're adding, man, like, come on. And man, there's all this, right? There's our cap goes up every single year and there's money going into every single other position. It might not be setting the market every single time, like I said, but at least it's being competitive and not, you know, going down, which what we're seeing right now. And so, man, it's a conversation that is, it needs more thought to get the other positions involved. Because I think you have to relate it to the other positions. Cause right now they're like, oh, it's just happening to the running backs. Well, the franchise, you know, dilemma that we're going through also happened to the safeties. It also happened to the tight ends. Now it's happening to us. And so it's something that we have to think about as players. Like, the things that we have negotiated for and we have in the CBA is stuff that we have had to fight for ourselves as players. And I don't, it's not a thing that really gets talked about, you know, in the public eyes because people just watch football and that's fine. But us behind the scenes, we are scratching and clawing to make this the most advantageous thing as far as the NFL for players and for ownership. And when you're continuing, if you use something like this and start abusing stuff, that's when we come together. And that's when we're like, hey, this is bullshit. And we need to, you know, stand up for ourselves and make sure that, you know, we get this changed and go to the extents that we need to get it done. So it's one of those things where you have to apply it to other people. And that's not easy to do. It takes time, which is fine because the CBA is every 10 years. But it's one of those things where, is this one something we want to fight for or not? We'll decide.
Yeah. We don't have to stick on this too much longer, just because I know it's kind of over the head of a lot of people out there and everything. But I think it's important to talk about this just because, again, if you're listening to a fantasy football podcast, these are the players that you know the most. Like, these are the guys that keep the game going. And I always say this, I've said this since the moment I got into the business, right? Like, we are not the story. The game is the story and the players are the story. And without the players, there is no game, right? And there's certain, if there's no game, there's definitely no game about the game, right? So this is the stuff that we should care about as players as well, players of fantasy football, along with like just supporting what's going on with these guys. And, you know, I definitely think like in the media too, we have some culpability to this, you know, the general we, cause, you know, I have seen some of the things that other people have put out about this. I know that maybe 5-6 years ago when I was younger and definitely dumber, definitely younger and definitely dumber, I may have thought differently about this than I do now after getting to know a lot of these guys and, you know, putting more grander thought into it than just being sort of this narrow view of it. And I, you know, listen, if ownership is definitely, and teams are, you might think they're not listening to media, but they are, and they're following that criticism and what they can get away with. So absolutely, it all feeds into each other, man. And that's why I think it's important to talk about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Speaking of running back landscape, all those changes have led to some new faces and new places. We're going to get Austin's thoughts on those right after this. All right, so all that chaos that we just talked about in the last segment definitely led to some shakeup in the running back landscape. We've got some new faces, new places. There's a few I've got my eye on, Austin. We're going to run through some of these scenarios here and see what you think. This is one thing we want to do on the show more this year. Austin, in this, you know, beautiful head of his over there, has...
Yes, we got things shining.
I mean, you're not... I've just got the stubble right now, right? So I'm not shining. I've got nothing over here. But in that beautiful shining head of yours over there, Austin, you've got a wealth of knowledge about running backs and how to play the position. And people want access to that knowledge. The listeners want to know what you think about these guys out there as one of the, if not the top player at the position. So let's talk about some of these scenarios here. We're going to be doing that a lot this year. Let's talk about a few of them right now. Dalvin Cook goes to New York Jets. This is one of the most productive players at the position over the last few years. He's joining a backfield with Breece Hall. By the way, Breece Hall, I mean, we talked a lot about him last year, Austin, and like, especially his role as a receiver, how far down the field he was being targeted, right? Like, at one point, I even remember showing you, these are your air yards per target, these are his air yards per target, and like the difference there, right? So these two have the potential to form a dynamic duo, which is awesome for the Jets, but you know, in fantasy, people are always like, how do I figure this thing out?
Oh yeah. You know, I sent you that one with about Zeke that we're gonna talk about it a little bit. Yes. You know, with the Ramondre, you know, this little meme. The memes out here are hilarious. You know, whether I agree with them or not, hey, sometimes it's still some dark humor. Still funny.
You can still Dark humor is always funny. You're talking to somebody who's very into dark humor.
Yeah. Some of it's a little borderline, but no, let's talk about Dalvin, man. And then even just the Jets right now, you know, the Jets are in a position where obviously, you know, they have some change at the quarterback. You know, they're trying to put these pieces together. You have obviously Breece Hall too, who was a stud last year in his first year and obviously had the injury. And so, you know, I think that's a factor that plays into it as well. It's like, okay, like, mm-hmm. yeah, Breece, he's going to be coming back, should be making a full recovery, but let's also be able to supplement him. And not just supplement him, but they found, you know, themselves Dalvin Cook out there in the market and, you know, ended up getting him for, I think it was a 2-year deal or a 1-year deal.
One year deal.
And I think this is also an opportunity, you know, for Dalvin as well to continue to show like, yeah, I can still play at a high level. It's going to be interesting to see what that dynamic is. I remember it reminds me of kind of, you know, being with Melvin in like my third year where I'd pretty much established myself and was playing only offense. So Melvin and I were like a split back. I think I have still like 1,000 receiving yards that year, still a crazy year. So there's still production to be had. Even in a split scenario for both of these guys, these guys are both dynamic guys in their own way. And so for me, how I see this playing out is just like that. It's probably going to be some type of split backfield. And it's not necessarily that one might go out there first, but they're both starters in mm-hmm. my mind. They both have that ability to go out there and impact the game. And they're probably going to be on the field at the same time in certain ways and utilized to try to create mismatches, right? You get Breece, like you said, they can go down and catch the ball, right? Try to get some one-on-ones, maybe get you in a heavy set, keep your linebackers on the field, and then, you know, put two running backs out there and see how you're going to play it, see if you can create mismatches. There is this dynamic of who gets like red zone carries, things like that. So that yeah. is something I'm interested to see how that plays out, depending on who's going to be leaned on inside the 10-yard line. I think my rookie or that third year, I wasn't really used in that position as much. I still had 11 touchdowns, but they're all pretty much outside the 10-yard line. And so there is, in my opinion, going to be someone who's going to be getting mainly, you know, the most of those carries down there, which we do know translates to you know, fantasy points directly. So in my opinion, would it be Breece or would that be Dalvin? I don't know. I think it's how Breece is feeling, but I'm curious to see how it plays out. But I would lean more towards Dalvin getting those carries right now.
Yeah, I think what people forget about before Breece Hall got hurt, and I know it's different offensive coordinator, but same head coach, and they all actually kind of flow through the same tree. It's ironically, Nathaniel Hackett was coaching under Matt LaFleur. Mike LaFleur was the offensive coordinator last year for the Jets, and this team used like pony personnel, real true two running backs on the field more than any other team, and they used it really effectively too. Now, almost exactly what you're pointing out there, like, I remember early on in the season, you know, Breece Hall was kind of used as like that eye candy guy because everybody knows he's explosive. And like they put both these guys in the backfield down there in the red zone and they'll like motion Breece Hall around to kind of provide that eye candy. And then Michael Carter, who's still on this team, Michael Carter just bangs in like a two, 3-yard touchdown. I wonder if maybe that's like going to be Dalvin Cook this year, right? Like, how hard is it to actually make like not just a split backfield, but literally, because we almost always hear about it more in theory than practice, like two true running backs on the field at the same time like that.
I mean, as far as like on the field, it's like, we have a few plays. It's not like what you're going to live in as an offense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not bad. But for me, what the difference is my body after games. Like my body after games when I was splitting, like I felt great. I felt great after games when I was splitting with Melvin. And so that, I think that's something that's going to help both of these guys out is the longevity of their bodies and going through the entire season and making it through. Cause we know, you know, Dalvin's had some issues there, right? Making it through entire seasons. And so as far as that, it's like, okay, like, guess what? You have two studs that can carry the rock and kind of complement each other. We saw something that's similar with, you know, with Zeke and Pollard, where it's like, if one's down, guess what? Okay. Your load might go down a little bit this week, but guess what? You have someone else who can pick up the slack and continue to you know, move the rock for us. And so, yeah, man, it's like, man, like when you have that dynamic duo, especially two of them, it's like, man, I feel like the running back position even gets more influential because now we're going to lean on it because we have the means to actually be able to give, right, that position the ball and get him involved in different ways in the passing game, the running game, even more often.
And, you know, this is a team that has good defense. They have some guys at receiver. I love Garrett Wilson, their number one receiver. I think that guy is going to be a superstar. There are other guys. Now, the salaries might not say it, Austin, but the salaries for the receivers, that's one thing. I think these guys are like role players. Like, if you're talking the three most explosive players on the Jets offense right now, it probably goes Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall when he's healthy, Dalvin Cook, like two running backs in the top three there. So we'll see how that split goes. I think if you're a team in fantasy that's looking to get off to like a fast start, I think Dalvin Cook is more appealing to you. If you're one of these teams that wants to save your upside for the back half of the year, a fresher Breece Hall probably seems pretty appealing there. Let's move to Zeke, who just signed with the New England Patriots here in the last couple of days. I mean, this guy has been playing. He seems like he's been playing forever. He's only been around, what, since like 2015 was his rookie year? It really hasn't been.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Well, how many years does he have? What is it? He going into year nine right now? He's going into year eight. So, okay. So he's one in front of me.
2016. I thought he was in 2015. Yeah. 2016 was his rookie year.
He's one year before me.
So he's been around for a long time. And I think he's now sort of in a new, obviously, phase of his career where he's going to be maybe the second fiddle to a guy in Ramondre Stevenson, who I really like. But Austin, talk about wearing down. Ramondre's even come out and said, like, yeah, I know I played these high snap rates last year, and everybody in fantasy loves that. We want the guy that's on the field all the time. But Ramondre's like, I'm paraphrasing, don't let me do that again. Never again. He got worn down. So now they're going to have these two guys.
It's a real thing. Why? Because they give us the ball because we're a playmaker, because we make a difference. You know, and yeah, don't even get these freaking contracts BS. But anyway, because they need us, they lean on us, right? Like, hey, we got to get our run game going. Why? So that they can't just, you know, sit over, you know, these safeties up high all the time. So they have to come down and play in the box a little bit, right? Like, we complement the pass game. We complement the run game, complements the pass game, and vice versa. So we got to be able to run the rock. And I'm in a similar boat where it's like, yo, I want some of our young guys to come out here and earn some dang reps, right? Yeah. Earn reps and get some.
You've been
trust
talking about this
offense
for years.
And I've been doing that for as long as I've been playing, where it's like, I'm never like out there all the time. That's just not, it's not sustainable because of how much they use us at the running back position. And especially if you're really impactful, they're going to want to keep you on the field. And so it's going to be a lot on your body because this position is demanding. Absolutely. But when you can have people to lean on and not have a huge drop off, then guess what? Your body's going to feel great after, or better, I should say, after the game. You're still going through car wrecks. And so I think having that duo is so beneficial for your starting running backs, or, you know, if you have two, you know, stud running backs that are holding down the position. And, you know, with Zeke, you know, we have Ramondre, yeah, who's definitely, in my opinion, going to be the number one, and Zeke's going to be more of that support guy, but who could also still, you know, you'd be fine if he's your starter. Like, you trust this guy. He's played a lot of ball. And so he's a guy that, am I looking to pick up right away? Maybe like holding him around. You know, maybe if Ramondre gets hurt, it depends on how many people you have in your league. If I have 16 people in my league. So if you have Zeke, yeah, it's not a bad option to have him on your bench, 'cause there's probably not a lot around. Because he's definitely going to get some playing time. And so that's something that you should take into account too, is, you know, they're going to get him, they're going to find him ways to get in the game. And he's going to be impactful. He's shown that in the past. He might not be as explosive as he was, you know, in his earlier years, just kind of based on the trends of how Zeke's been playing. But he's definitely going to get in there, make the impact. I can see him getting, you know, some of those goal line. I mean, Ramondre is a big guy too. Both those guys could go down there and be effective in the you don't always have to be a big guy. I saw like a stat the other day, actually. It was like percentage of like carries inside the 10 that score. And I think mine was like 75%, something ridiculous. So you don't always have to be a big guy to get in there, but just tendencies. There's a couple outliers like us out there. But no, I'm excited for that backfield. I think that's going to be a level up for them for sure.
All right, I'm going to throw three more names out here, and you give me which one of these guys you think is really sticks out to you. Maybe that's set up to have a big year. Two rookies, one vet. One, Alexander Mattison, who's taking over for Dalvin Cook in that RB1 role in Minnesota. I see some kind of similarities with him and you, in that, like, this is a guy that we had seen, but like, we'd seen Austin Ekeler before. We'd seen you flash in moments. We've seen Alexander Mattison like fill in for Dalvin Cook, but we've never seen him be a full-time guy. We obviously know what you did with your opportunity to become that full-time guy. And then a couple rookies. Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit, who I mentioned earlier, he weighed in at 199 pounds, and certain draft analysts like, well, it's over. You know, he's a sub 200 pound back. He's done. No, I'm being a little facetious there, but he's explosive as a receiver. He's going to have a tandem backfield with David Montgomery there. And Bijan Robinson, I mean, we talk about the declining value of the running back position. That's the narrative right now. Well, damn, Falcons took him eighth overall in the draft and have big plans for him. Any of those three guys kind of stick out to you, someone you're keeping your eye on this year?
Yeah, man. I like these rookies. I really do. Bijan Robinson is one who I think him in, as an individual, just not even looking at his team, but as his capabilities, I feel like he kind of reminds me of, like, especially the hype around him of Saquon and a Zeke when they first were coming out of college, was like, this is the new guy, like the new, you know, best thing. As far as the team though, around him, like, this is a team game. And so, you know, it might be a little bit questionable as far as like the success of the actual of Atlanta. And that's going to actually, you know, play a part into it. You know, whether that plays a part into the run game or not, it makes, I don't know if that makes a difference for him over there. Cause you can just have this narrative. Well, if you're behind a lot, you're going to throw a lot. Well, Atlanta was like number one in rushing last year. You know, their season finished how it finished. And so I feel like they're really going to lean heavily on him. Just because he is dynamic, and they'd be like, yo, almost like a Najee Harris type of, you know, situation, you know, how he was used his rookie year where Ben was just dumping it down. He's getting 20 plus touches a game. They got some guys over there that had some success in the backfield though. So,
Tyler Algier. Yeah. He had a sneaky 1,000-yard season.
Exactly. So it's not like he's playing with guys that haven't done anything and haven't ran the ball. And so, he's probably still going to be competing for reps, which he might not think about it, but for his sake, for the long term, I think is a good thing, and he can start learning and he can save his body a little bit more. And for his sake, I hope that is what happens, is that they don't just run him into the dirt. And then for Gibbs, I mean, I'm excited for him too. You know, I'm excited for Detroit. I'm excited to see what they do. I'm always excited that people don't really understand, because they are fans of the logos, you know, but these are our guys out there. These are our brothers. Mm-hmm. Like we talk to these guys and we see each other at meetings, you know, player, we're all part of the NFLPA. And so we all have some type of connection through that brotherhood. And even though we play for different logos, we definitely care for each other. We need each other to do well. Obviously we want ourselves to do well, but we also are rooting for our brothers as well. And so just like this Detroit situation and what they've been going through as far as their come up, you know, kind of going from this team that really isn't really doing much since what's the name left? Stafford. And then it's like, okay, let's see what can happen. But Gibbs, Bijan is that guy that stands out to me. Gibbs, I think he's in a similar spot, but we'll see.
I'm stupid high on the Falcons offense this year.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Big Drake London guy. I really think Arthur Smith, a little cantankerous with how he talks to the media, but I love the way he designs passing games. I think they're going to take some people by surprise this year. Bijan obviously would be a big beneficiary of that. But we got plenty of time to break that all down.
Would you say that's a bold prediction?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll put a pin in that. We have some serious business here. All right, Austin. We're teaming up with Toyota Racing for the month of August. We wanted to go under the hood of training camp and dive into what it takes to get ready for the NFL season. You guys there in LA, you're breaking in a whole new offensive coordinator, man. I remember you telling us several times during last year, like, hey, Joe Lombardi, like, they lean on you a lot in that offense, right? They lean on you a ton. You the history of the running back position from a rushing perspective, touchdown perspective, from a receiving yards perspective. What's it been like sort of getting ready for a new season with a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, who obviously has a history there in Dallas? What's that preparation been like for you guys?
Yeah. Going into year seven, my preparation is a lot different than, you know, any year before, because now, well, even in, I would say like probably after my third year is when I started to really understand, an NFL offense. And as far as not just understand it for my running, like I knew my job, but it's like, okay, I understand the 2x2, the formations, why we're setting tight ends off to the side by themselves to see if it's man zone, these different indicators. You start to add depth of understanding of why you do what you do. And now going into year seven, I've been through two offenses. This is now my third offense. And it's like, okay, I understand everyone's doing the same thing. Like, we all have the same plays. We just call it different things. And so going into this, you know, coming into training camp, learning the plays has been nice. It's for me anyway, like I see it all coming together. Defenses are still playing same over under fronts, bare fronts, you know, all these different fronts that you guys don't know what the heck I'm talking about, but they're playing the same stuff. And so now for me, it's like, okay, what do we call it? And what technique are we trying to use? Do we want me wider on wide zones, you know, a little bit tighter, like these little intricacies that, you know, decide and define how our play style is going to be. And now we can really, for me, can focus on play style, making sure I'm the right place, right time, and then also meshing with my quarterback, and then to continue to show up for Kellen so they can trust me. And so that's what it comes down to. Yeah, you learn the offense. It's really not a ton if you sit down and actually dive into it, because it's still football. All these guys that are playing out here have been playing since, you know, for a long time. And so it's still football. So for me, coming into a new offense, it's like, okay, let's see how we're going to mess. Let's see how they're utilizing us as the running back. And it's always interesting, because in training camp, and when you're like going against each other, like, you can never simulate like the run game. You can never simulate like an actual pass rush. And so there's these things that you can't like simulate that would end up getting the running back the ball, or like an explosive play. Like, did I make this guy miss, or did I not? And it was something that also I noticed with Joe. Like, I got used a ton in the red zone in regular season, but when we were going through training camp, like, it, we weren't throwing check downs and stuff like that. Herbert's slinging that thing in the end zone, you know, because he doesn't have a pass rush in his face. And so when you get to the real season, I think that's when you really get the test of, okay, what's going on? And, you know, Herbert's done a good job, obviously, of checking the ball down to me when things aren't open. And that's why I've come alive as much as I have in the passing game. And so will I be used as much as I have in the past? I think it's inevitable that I'm going to be getting these touches because, oh, there's a pass rusher in my face. I can't throw it down the field. Throw it to Austin. Here you go. Kick it out real quick. You know, and even down in the run game, down in the red zone, like, we do like these simulated periods where it's like, oh, I'm running the ball. Well, did I break that tackle? I don't know, but they're going to call you down where you got touched. So it's always interesting. And so the reason I'm saying that is because in the media, it's like, there's nothing like really popping out about the running backs, you know, and what they're doing. It's all receivers. Yeah. And this guy made an amazing catch. So we kind of go under the radar till we get to the actual games, and it's under the radar for us too as players. It's like, okay, how much am I going to be utilized? Like, am I going to get the ball a lot? I don't know, but I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be in my spot. So it's been easy to learn. I've learned it, and now, you know, we're going through these practices. But until we get to the actual games, we'll see how it plays out, because it is new, and I was used differently when I had, you know, Wisenhunt, when I had, you know, Shane Steichen, and now when I have, you know, Joe Lombardi, now we have Kellen. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, people forget sometimes we're watching a practice, right? Yeah. Like, we're not a real scenario. So that's a great point. Once the chaos of a real game happens, things can look different. So I think your role was, that's interesting. Do you think there's like a time like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks into the season when you're like, okay, this is actually what it really is? Or is it just kind of arbitrary throughout?
Ooh, that's a great question, because I think we go in with an expectation and high hopes that the expectation is going to be what it's going to be. And then we adjust. We adjust when it's like there's injury, or okay, this person isn't playing up to the standard that we thought, or this isn't working, this scheme, and we're not really good at running these types of plays. You know, I think if you look at what we did, you know, an example for us, we didn't run a lot of screens early on in the season last year. And then we started going and we had some injuries, and it was like, okay, how do we get Austin the ball down in the red zone? Well, let's hit up the screen game, and boom. So the screen started to play more of a part about halfway through, and then stayed the entire rest of the season. So things like that you just adjust. The dynamic of your team will play out during the season. And whether it's because you're injured or because you're just not good or strong where you thought you were, or all of the things that make football as great as it is, because we get to go and find those out while we play.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the expectation on the outside, what people want to see, they want to see Herbert throw the ball like 600, 800 times.
You got my gears. We do. We do. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. We had both of our starting receivers hurt last year, so he was throwing it to me and Gerald, you know. We still made the playoff. We still got there. So, yeah. But yeah, people want to see the flashy. That's why in the media, like, oh, this guy made this great catch. You know, like, that's what you're going to see in the media.
I can't see another one-on-one like rep and be like, man, this guy, look at that. It's like, let's see it in the real game. Okay, real game. That's what we're looking for. So
for sure.
The best laid plans in practice, I'm ready to see it play out in the real game. So that was great. Thanks for going under the hood with us, Austin. And thanks again to our friends at Toyota Racing. All right, let's land this plane here. Let's bring it home with our final segment. This pod is all about community. We're going to be looking for some bold predictions from you all out there. But first, Austin, we're going to wrap it up with our bold predictions to celebrate the show being back. Austin,
yes.
Age before beauty or beauty before age, whichever one you want to do. You go first. That's what I'll tell you what.
And I just want to put a little emphasis on the mailbag too. Like,
yes.
It could be a bold prediction from someone on your team. I don't care if you're biased because you have them on your team or because, you know, you're a fan of that team or that maybe they're on your fantasy team. I don't know. But I want to hear some of things and give me a little bit of a reasoning why too. Give us some substance to actually talk about here. We want to dive into what you're saying. Don't just say, oh, this person's going to be number one. Give us something.
I always say this to the people like social media folks. When we post the engagement question, always say, give us your bold prediction and why. And so it's not just 500 responses with names so that Austin and I are like, at whoever the hell says Bijan Robinson is going to be the best running back in the league. Or, you know, give us a good reason for it. Give us more content to work with. But we're going to hear from you all. We'll get some social media involved. But the mailbag is also back. Ask Austin the mailbag. You can send in a question or a voicemail. Ask Austin at yahoosports.com. Again, we do want to hear your voices. There's nothing that Austin wants more than to hear your voices. Record a voice memo on your phone. Send it in the email. Voicemails are going to go to the front of the line. So there's your opportunity to actually be heard on the show. But again, any email will do, and we'll scrub some questions from our great community on social media as well. We want to hear your bold predictions. That's what it's all about. But again, we're going to give ours early here, Austin. You're filibustering enough. I'm ready to hear your bold prediction to celebrate the show being back.
I mean, here's my bold prediction, and it's a little biased, but 2023-2024, RB1, back-to-back years, call him out, Austin Eckler, going back-to-back, touchdown king, 3 years in a row. It might be a little biased, but look, that's the only thing I can control. That is my bold prediction. That Eckler's going number one once again in 1 point and half point per PPR. So hey, maybe it's not that bold because maybe that's what you expect, but that is my bold prediction. So
yes,
maybe you could have saw that one coming.
Bold prediction. The guy who's going off the board fourth overall in fantasy drafts is going to be very good this year.
Maybe it's not so bold, you know, it depends on who you ask.
I guess that's okay. Well, listen, I'm just happy to see you, pal. So I'm going to let that stand. I'm going to allow that as a bold prediction. We'll allow it for now. My bold prediction, the Seattle Seahawks will have three wide receivers go over 1,000 yards this year. I think that with Geno Smith, dude, Geno's going to do it. He's going to get three guys over 1,000 yards. And here's why. This trio of guys there, I'm talking about DK Metcalf, I'm talking about Tyler Lockett, I'm talking about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the rookie they draft in the first round there. They're going to, you know, people freaked out after the draft when Pete Carroll's like, look, I like our tight ends, okay? Our tight ends are good. We're probably going to play our tight ends. Okay, Pete. You don't take a receiver at the 20th overall pick and not play 11 personnel a ton, especially when your offensive coordinator has a history doing that with the LA Rams coming from that coaching tree. I think this trio, by the end of the year, they're going to be regarded as one of, if not the best receiver trio in the NFL. That's how good these guys are. I think DK is a big-time vertical X receiver who can dictate coverages downfield. Tyler Lockett, Austin, he is probably the most underrated player in the NFL. This guy is legitimately a superstar.
I would agree. Makes every catch. The dude doesn't. He does. He's in the right spot. If you throw it to him, he's gonna catch it. That's a magnet. Yes. No.
He's always open.
I 100% agree there. That is a bold prediction. I agree with the Tyler Lockett that he is underrated and he's a stud. Absolutely. I know they know that out there in Seattle, but league wide. But yeah. Wow. That's a bold prediction right there for you. Okay. We want to hear your bold predictions. I want to know if someone's got one more bolder than Matt's.
I would guarantee you, I'll take it to the bank right now. We're going to get something crazier than the Seattle Seahawks have three receivers going over 1,000 yards.
I can't wait.
That is pretty bold. I'm asking a lot of rookie Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I think that guy is really good.
And I think you're asking a lot of Geno.
I mean, Geno played really well last year. Really
he did.
Well.
He
played really well. But I'm asking a lot. I can't tell you how much I'm invested in Geno Smith doing this, man. So maybe I'm trying to will it into existence. But yes, nice. We want to hear your bold predictions. Again, hit up the mailbag, askaustin@yahoosports.com. Give us your best, craziest, hottest take bold predictions for the fantasy football season. You can also tweet them to @YahooFantasy or @AustinEckler or @MattHarmon_BYB. And if you let us know you want it for the show, we'll get it on the show. Send a voice memo into the email line as well. We're ready to hear some bold predictions. And I'm telling you what, Austin, we're going to get some good ones.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Can't wait.
All right. That is going to do it for us today, folks. Austin, I think that was a hell of a first episode of Eckler's Edge. We are on to a good start here in 2023.
You know, it's the intro. And so guess what? You got to stack them up. You got to stack them up. You know, it might not be your best. It might not be your worst. But, you know, as long as you keep getting better along the way, that's what we're looking for. Progression, growth. And guess what? By the end of the year, it's going to be a kick-ass show. I can't wait for it.
Well, we're just going to keep chopping wood here. That's what we're going to do. Hey, if it's a social media app, Yahoo Fantasy is there. @YahooFantasy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I mean, TikTok, Austin. The people are on TikTok, on Instagram.
We're getting up with the times.
Yeah. I'm trying my best. You can also find me on Twitter or Instagram @MattHarmon_BYB. You can also find Austin there @AustinEckler. You can watch this show on YouTube @YahooSports. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow, continuing our strategy week here on the podcast. It's going to be awesome. Scott Pianowski will be here to break down our salary cap mock draft and how you should best approach salary caps. I mean, Scott is about to drop so much knowledge on you people out there. You don't even know what's going to hit you. Until then, we're out.